about learning is that when you learn, I'm sorry, tonight I don't have the energy that I usually have. So if the guys in the back don't mind moving up a little bit, I promise not to hit. Thank you. You're very, very, very thoughtful. This is why I don't have to scream. The mic is perfect. I always ask why they call it a mic. Why not a Bob or a Steve? Mic. Why does mic? Mic means to amplify. Why mic? Maybe there was once a guy named Mike with a deep, booming voice. All right, Tzvi Moshe. Everyone should love Hashem like Tzvi Moshe. One of the fun things about being a person, I think a Jew particularly, is that everything we learn is an opportunity to grow. We never want to be in one place. It's like the excitement of the daily excitement of life. Every day you're growing. We just had a Tishrei. You know, there was just a lot of davening. There was Rosh Hashanah, and there was Seder Simei Tshuva, there was Yom Kippur. And every day you were thinking, and you're working on yourself, how am I going to be a better person? It's fun to be a better person. It's fun to control the taiva. Control the taiva. You want to do something. You want to look at something. You want to eat something. You want to say something. You want to go somewhere. And you don't. There's no pleasure like that in this world. I've done both, by the way, a lot of times. I've succumbed to my desires and I've overcome them. And I can tell you that the feeling, the pleasure I have when I overcome them is infinitely greater. So the pleasure you have when you're learning, when you're growing, it's a fun trip. It's a fun trip, and every time you feel like you have it, you were Conan. I worked for many years. I used to like to watch television and movies. I used to like Western entertainment. So for many years I had to overcome my desire to watch. And now I got to the point where I lost all desire. It doesn't even talk to me anymore. So when you're on that, not that I'm on any Madrega, but when I got there, it's like, oh, you're a little bit more of a man, a little bit less of a beast. So I encourage everybody to take that ride. We'll all go mala mala, you'll feel good in the end. You'll feel very good. So it says, "Zechor yimal selam v'nishnal stor b'dor dvarim." Remember the days of old. Remember the generations. So what is dorim v'nishnal stor b'dor? Rashi says, "Dor enosh." You have to remember the generation of enosh. Sheheitzif aleim me okinos, that the ocean, they drown in the ocean. Earlier, in Parashas Bereishis, which the Torah doesn't tell us about, Hazal tell us. And Dora Mabul Sheshatvon. And also remember the generation of the Mabul. So as we have to look at the generation of the sinners, we have to look at the generation of the sinners in order to learn from their mistakes. And then we won't make the same mistakes. And it's always better. I always like learning from other people's mistakes. If people wouldn't have smoked before me, then I would have smoked. The other day somebody came up to me and he said to me, excuse me sir, but I'd like to die young. But before I die, first I want to get very, very sick. I want to get cancer. I want to have all these terribly painful treatments done. I want chemotherapy. I want my hair to fall out. I want to vomit. And then I want to die a slow and painful death at a young age, leaving a wife and small children. Would you like to help me? So the truth is, he didn't say that to me. He said, "Can I have a light?" That's what he said to me. He said, "Can I have a light for my cigarette?" I mean, that's what he was saying. So I, fortunately, I don't smoke. I mean, I do smoke. I don't smoke firsthand. I smoke passively, unfortunately, when I walk down the street. When people smoke in my face, I don't enjoy that. But they do it anyway. So I don't smoke because somebody smoked before me, and he got emphysema, and he got cancer, and his lungs turned all these dark colors. And then I learned that if you smoke, then you get emphysema and cancer, and your lung turns all these dark colors, and then you die. So I learned from the people before me who smoked not to smoke. So now I don't smoke. Baruch Hashem. I walk up a flight of stairs. I'm not huffing and puffing. I feel good. I'm healthy. I play sports if I want to play sports. I can breathe. I can breathe well. I don't cough a lot. And, you know, I'm not planning to die young. Next week I'm going to hit the highest birthday I've ever hit before. Reach my record over the years that I've lived. So that's partly due to the fact that I don't smoke. Probably due to the fact that I didn't commit suicide as a teenager. In any event, I am so silly. Just sometimes. So we learn from the earlier generations. I always like to learn. I always like to learn from Jews who try to assimilate. Whenever Jews try to assimilate and show the Goyim that, hey, we're like you, you know what the Goyim did? They smacked our faces. It never worked. It didn't work in Spain. It didn't work in Germany. So I decided it's not worthwhile to assimilate. They're not going to like me better. They're still going to hate me. Hitler was trying to kill the assimilated ones too. It doesn't help. So whenever I learn, you learn Jewish history, you learn a lot of important lessons. You learn from your parents. Ask your parents about their lives. You learn lessons. Ask anybody older than you. I'm always looking around. I always like to talk to people. A, because I like people. And B, because I like to hear about their mistakes. Not because I'm happy that they made mistakes, but because the more I hear about their mistakes, the less likely I am to make the same ones myself. So you can talk to me and you can find out about all my mistakes and then you'll avoid them. So that's the door. Rashi says, learn from the mistake of the door Amabel, see what happened to them, and don't repeat it. Those, who is it that said, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it? Who said that? You know what, let's say in the name of John F. Kennedy. Huh? Is he going to come back and is he going to say that I didn't say that? No. Because he learned that when you're driving in a car and they tell you to go with the cover on top of the car so that somebody can't shoot you in the head, you should listen. That's what they told him. It's not his fault. He wanted to wave. But he learned. He learned that it's very dangerous to be pregnant. I'm not making fun. It was a very, very sad day. I'm not making fun of John F. Kennedy. I don't think it was funny. So, I want to get to this story. So make for you this ark. So the truth is that God, says Rashi, God could have saved Noach in the... I'm trying to say it in a French accent because Rashi was French. God could have saved Noach in many... I don't think Rashi really spoke like that. God could have saved Noach in many different ways. Why did he have Noach build the ark? So Rashi says that the people of the Dor HaMabel would see him building for 120 years and they'll ask him, hey, what is this? And he said, God's going to bring a deluge. Is that the word? God's going to bring a flood. Maybe the people are going to do tshuva. That's Rashi. So Rashi says that the reason he had to build this ark is that people will see him and then they're going to want to do tshuva because they're going to see that he's building this ark. So, question is that Goyim do tshuva. Where do we see that? We see that by Nineveh. Those of us who were awake and alive on Yom Kippur read the story of Yonah. So in the book of Yonah, we read about how Yonah ran away from God and he was told to prophesy to Nineveh that God's going to destroy Nineveh. So why did Yonah run away? Because he knew that the Goyim are krovei tshuva. And he didn't want the Jews to look bad. The Gemara says, what does it mean, krovei tshuva? It means that if he tells the Goyim, if he tells the people in Nineveh that God's going to destroy Nineveh, they're going to quickly repent. And then the Jews are going to look bad because the Goyim are repenting and the Jews aren't. That's, by the way, one of the reasons we read Yonah and Yom Kippur. To show us that if the Gentiles are doing tshuva, we should certainly be doing tshuva. Whenever I read a story about a Gentile, about something good that a Gentile did, I always take that as the strongest mussar. I said, if somebody who doesn't have Torah acts this way, so I should certainly act this way. So we have no excuse. We always have to be. We have to be twice as good because we have the Torah. So Yonah was running away because he didn't want to. He knew that you can't prophesy in Chutz Laaretz. Prophecy comes to you only in the land of Israel. So he wanted to run away because if he tells Nineveh, if he gets this prophecy to tell Nineveh to do tshuva, they're going to do tshuva, and the Jews are going to look bad. So the question is, why did the Dor HaMabel do tshuva? There was one generation, 120 years. So if the Goyim, according to the Gemara, according to the Yerushalmi, are most likely to do tshuva, so why did the Dor HaMabel, why did this generation do tshuva? And not only that, but if they were such, because they were such rotten people that they wouldn't do tshuva even after 120 years, why did they wait until the end? We learn that they didn't break the tave at the beginning, they only tried to smash the tave at the end when it started to rain after 120 years. Why did they do it in the meantime? They had all these years to do it. If they were such rotten people, when they saw Noah beginning to build the ark, they should have smashed it down. Why did they wait till the end? Also, Rashi says that God wanted Noah to build the ark for 120 years, because maybe the Goyim would do tshuva. So the Chizkuni, one of the commentaries, asks on Rashi, he says, but God knows that they're not going to do tshuva. Right? And they didn't repent. So if they didn't repent, then what does God build this ark so that they might repent? But in the end, God knows they're not going to repent. So we have a number of questions over here. We have, understand why they didn't do tshuva, if the Goyim are Krobei tshuva. And we also have, if they're so rotten, then how come they didn't break the ark earlier? How come they only waited till the end? And also, why God said he should build the ark for such a long time, lest they, because he wanted them to repent. But in the end, they didn't repent, and God knows the future. So the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, look at how terrible it is to steal. Because the Dor HaMabul, they did all these Averis, they did a lot of sins in the Dor HaMabul. A lot of sins. And why was their decree sealed? What sealed their fate? Chamas. What's Chamas? A bunch of very, very, very rotten Arabs. I think that's Chamas. What's Chamas? Never heard of Chamas? Better not. What'd you say? A good dip. That's what the mikvah is. In any event, the thieves. Thievery. Because they stole. That's what the Gemara says. The Rishonim say, this is very, very funny, that when you steal, what's the punishment for stealing? You're not chayav misa, and there's not even a penalty to pay like geneva. When you steal geneva, when you do it stealthily, when you do it, when you hide, when you steal in a sneaky way, you have to pay double. For gzela, there's not even a knas. So it's not even as bad as geneva. Geneva is gzela is when you do it overtly, when you do it out in the open. So they were doing this gzela. And why is that worse than all the other sins? There's some sins for which you get a chiyuv misa, for which you're liable to the death penalty. That's a really, really bad avera. They were over on Gilead Arayos. There was a lot of, you know, mating with other people's mates. That's a really, really bad sin. For that, you get killed. So that's not why the Dor HaMabul was punished. Why was the Dor HaMabul punished? Why would they get the flood? Because they were stealing, which gets out, which doesn't even get a death penalty, which isn't even as bad as Geneva, with stealing secretly. You don't even get a penalty for that. So why do they get such a terrible punishment for a sin that doesn't seem to be the end of the world? There's a Tanchuma, which is also a Medrash. A Medrash is rabbis who had a tradition as to what happened back in the old days, or they derived it from the text, however it was. But there, they fill in all the missing pieces in the text. So the Medrash says that God said to Moshe, I gave them the Torah, give them mishpatim, give them laws. God said, if you want to stay in this world, guard my laws. Because the world can't exist without mishpat. The world can't exist without mishpatim, without laws. Dor HaMabul, you know why they left the world? Because they were overall mishpat. They weren't honest people. The Dor HaMabul, that's why they were killed. That's why they were punished. So they didn't do mishpat. They didn't carry out judgment. Now, not carrying out judgment, that's not even a lav. That's not even a losaseh. A losaseh means something that you're not allowed to do. One of the 365 no-nos in the Torah. Not having mishpat isn't even a no-no. And yet it says, because they didn't have proper mishpat, because they didn't carry out judgment, they were punished. So here we have one source that says they were punished because they stole, which doesn't seem to be the worst. Go up, take somebody's money. It's not a nice thing to do, but there are a lot worse things than that. And number two, they didn't have mishpat. They didn't carry out judgment. So that's another source. And now we have a third source. This is a Medrash in Tehillim. It says, Tova Dovrei Chazav, those who lie will be destroyed. Medaver Dor HaMabul. This is talking about the Dor HaMabul. Haim v'diburam kazavim. They're liars. Their words are liars. They're a bunch of liars. Their pants should go on fire. That's my own addition. So that's what the Medrash goes on. And it says, that's what they weren't honest people. They lied. So does he have people or sleep with other people's wives? Yeah, people were killing each other. All these terrible averas. But why were they destroyed? Because they didn't tell the truth. They lied. So what's this? Now we have three sins. We have they lied, gezel, they stole, and they didn't carry out judgment. And if you would ask me, I can think of a lot worse things than this. Now we have another source. This is it. This, when you see this, you're gonna fall off your chair. Okay, try to catch the guy sitting next to you. When we shove a feet some, in other words, we have an accident. The next part is Dorf Flaga, which is they built a tower against God, and what did God do? He spread them around. So they don't have a portion, those people in the world to come. Which is worse? The rabbis say, who's worse? The Dorf Mabu, the flood generation, or the generation of the Tower of Babel? These guys, the people of the tower, who did they start up with? God. They built the tower. They said, we're going to knock you off, God. The people of the Mabul, were they talking about God? Nah, they were busy surfing the net. They weren't interested in God. Yet, who was killed? The Mabul. But the people of the tower, they weren't killed. Say Chazal, why? Tell you why. Because they would steal from each other and they would fight. The people in the Mabul, in the flood, would fight. The people in the tower of Babel, they were friends. They were Safa'achas, Dvar Machadim. They spoke nicely to each other. They were buddies. So, why was the Dor HaMabul killed and the Dor HaFlaga not? Because the Dor HaMabul, they didn't get along. And the Dor HaFlaga, they did get along. Lamanu, we learn from here, Shesonei Machokas Begad Lashon. Machokas is terrible. The fight is terrible, but peace is great. So we learn from this Chazal, quoted by Rashi, that if the Dor HaMabul, if they would have been nice to each other, there wouldn't have been a Mabul. With all of their sins, if they would have had achva va'ava va'achva v'reus, if they would have had brotherhood, comradeship, there would have been no flood. So in other words, why then did the flood come? Because they didn't get along. So what do we see then? We see apparently that why are they dying? Because of machlokas. So now we have another sin. Now we're saying that they died because they didn't get along. Are you chay of misa for not getting along? There's a lot worse than that. Somebody asks you, you have two averis you can do. You can not get along with your friend, or you can eat lobster. What would the rabbi tell the person to do? Don't get along with your friend. You can not get along with your friend, or be Machal Shabbos. What would the rabbi tell you to do? Don't get along with your friend. Machal Shabbos, Chiyuv Misa. You're not Chayv Misa. You don't get the death penalty for fighting with somebody. So we want to understand these different sins, obviously, when they're not arguing with each other. They're just different perspectives on what caused the flood. So, the answer is always in the Sfas Emes. Anybody wants to come to my Thursday night shiur has to go on Friday morning, Parshas Noach, to the bookstores. You can hit Mariah, don't hit too hard. You can go to hit Meir Sharim, and you buy yourself a Sfas Emes, and little by little, you'll become holy. That's the book you have to get to be holy. The Sfas Emes. You can get it in any Jewish bookstore. They have many editions. And then if you can read it yourself, then you'll get a chavrus who can read it. But that's the book of all books. I always say, I tell this to the boys every year, numerous times a year, I say that if I was stranded on a deserted island and I could bring only one book with me on a deserted island, what book would I bring? I'd bring a guide to how to get off a deserted island if you're stranded. That's what I'd bring. Sit on a deserted island for the rest of my life. What am I going to do? I used to watch Gilligan's Island. You know, when I was a kid, there used to be a show, Gilligan's Island. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Professor and his wife, a movie star. So all that silly stuff, that was just a lot of fun and games, Gilligan's Island. But to really be stuck on a deserted island, that'd be miserable. In any event, so if I could bring another book with me in the meantime, until they came to recover me, or they didn't have that option, they don't have the dummy's guide to getting off a deserted island when you're stranded yet, I don't think the idiot's guide. So I'd bring the Sfas Emes with me. I bring him with me. That's it. I always like to tell him I heard from my Rosh Hashiva many decades ago, probably before you were born, that I'm getting old. That he said that there was once a guy whose friend was in the army. And after the army, he wanted to go to the Far East to search for some spirituality, some meaning. And his parents, this boy's parents, wanted their son to come back. So they sent his friend to go get him. And this friend was a religious boy. And when he was on his trip, he took with him his Sfas Emes to learn. So he was like looking around for his friend. He met one of the gurus. And one of the gurus noticed that he had his Sfas Emes. And he said, he thought that this guy was looking for spirituality. He didn't know that he was looking for his friend. So he said, if you're looking for spirituality, you don't need to come here. Everything you need is in that book. It's all in that book. So if you want a raya from an Ovid Avodah Zarah, from a priest of idolatry, you have one. That all of the kedusha is in that book. The Sfas Emes is higher than high. And even if you don't understand everything, whatever you understand, every year, anew, every shtickle, every piece that I read, half-flavor fellow, what I understand, and every year we try to understand more and more. And if you don't understand, Svi Moshe, I'm ready offering his services. We'll give a chabura to anybody who wants the Sfas Emes, and it'll take you from where you are to where you want to be.
It's a good way to get him kicked out of yeshiva.
It's a good way to get him kicked out of yeshiva. That's what he just said to me. So, anyway, I want to read you a Sfas Emes. And when I read you the Sfas Emes, we'll be better people just by reading the words of the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes was Kodesh Kedashim. Sfas Emes died in 1905. And he was the Ger Rebbe. He was the second Ger Rebbe. Today you have a big dynasty of Ger, not converts, of Ger Hasidim. Is anybody here descended from Ger Hasidim? Ah. Good places, Eitan. Anybody else? Ah, Moshe Shmuel, a little bit. A little bit. Somebody thought of converting. Yeah. You'll tell me after. So Moshe Shmuel also, a little bit. So we all have to be a little bit of gear. You don't have to, they wear their pants and their socks. You don't have to dress like them. I would say, what do gear chassidim and professional baseball players have in common? That they both wear their pants and their socks. So this is what the Sfas Emes says. This is the year in the year, Tuf Resh Mem. Tuf Resh Mem. What year is Tuf Resh Mem in English? 1880. That's before professional baseball even started. So you see that the Garas were before. They were putting their pants in their socks before the before Joe Jackson was. Say it ain't so. Chet do amabu haya bebechinas derech eretz shekar mal Torah. The chet of the do amabu. This is all, by the way, this Torah I learned from my Rebbe Shlita. He gave a shiur a number of years ago, which I heard. It's also published on my shtem. The chet of the do amabu was bebechinas derech eretz shekar mal Torah. Chazal say that the world is 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years are years of Tohu. The second 2,000 years are Torah. And the third 2,000 years, which we're in now, are almost at the end. Just hold on just a little bit longer, as Mordechai and David used to sing. Just hold on just a little bit longer. Something about Mashiach coming. So, that's why I'm happy when Mashiach comes. Like, they're gonna, all the Mashiach songs that we sang, we're going to sing to them. That would be so cool. In any event, so... The first 2,000 years, and the 2,000 years are years of Mashiach. The first 2,000 years are Tohu. What's Tohu? What's Tohu? What? Chaos. In Batman. Did they used to have chaos in Batman? They don't have Batman anymore? They don't have Batman? Or they didn't have chaos in Batman? They did. They did. Okay. Just want to make sure. So, I didn't see the movie. I know they had a movie afterwards, but I used to watch the show. They used to have a show. You know, holy McMuffin. Did Robin still say there's all those holy this and holy that? Robin was such a geeky guy. Why did Batman hang out with him? Such a geeky guy. Is that Lashon Hara? Is he Jewish? You shouldn't say Lashon Hara about going either. In any event, the first 2,000 years didn't have Torah. Avram Avinu was, that's when the 2,000 years of Torah began with Avram. But before Avram, there wasn't Torah. So what was before Avram? Sweetest friends, if there was no Torah, what's the point of life? I said, if there was no Torah, I'd do two things. The first thing I would do is I'd eat a cheeseburger. And the second thing I'd do is I'd jump off the roof. I'd eat a cheeseburger because I always wonder what a cheeseburger tastes like. It looks good. And I also wouldn't worry about all the fat and all the oil and all the unhealthy stuff because the next thing I'd do is I'd jump off the roof. Because what worked is, you know this story? There was a guy, they were about to hang this guy. They were about to hang this guy, you know, the government. So they said to him, you know, you have one last, you know, request before you die. Would you like a cigarette? He goes, you know, I'm trying to cut down, thank you. And then, so he goes, what's life without Torah? If you have no God, if you have no spirituality, if I'm just an animal? So what do I need the world for? I jump off, I personally. I personally maybe have a problem. Maybe afterwards you give me therapy, you convince me life is worth living. But if I'm an animal, life isn't worth living. If all I am is I'm a sophisticated monkey, I've been told I'm a non-sophisticated monkey. That's worse. That's what people. But if all I am is a sophisticated monkey, yes, I bet a monkey can't say the word sophisticated. In any event, what am I living for? What am I living for? So I can sleep. Oh wow, that's great. So I can be dead. Sleep is death. They say, oh wow, I had a great Shabbos. I slept for 21 hours. Wow, you died for 21 hours. That's what they sing at funerals, if anybody hasn't ever been lucky enough to go to one. Yeah, you're dead. Sleep is death. I do everything I can to avoid sleep. Yes? So, short of drowning myself in a cold bath for whatever. Although somebody today told me that they once fell asleep in the shower. Has anybody ever done that? You've got to be really, really tired to do that. Done it? That's impressive. In any event, they too. Wow. What is life worth without Torah? The answer is nothing. So, why then did we have life before Torah? What was in the world before Torah? The answer is Derech Eretz, says the Sfas Emes, Kadma LaTorah. Before you have Torah, you have to have Derech Eretz. How do you say Derech Eretz? In English? Menschlichkeit. That's Derech Eretz, Kadma LaTorah. Ad Avol Shisil Beis Alav in Torah. Lachain Gam Tzidkas Noach Hayah B'Bchinas Derech Eretz. And therefore the Tzidkas of Noach was Derech Eretz. Noach was a tzaddik. What type of tzaddik was he? He was a tzaddik of Derech Eretz. He was a mensch. Somebody, the Rebbe said that he asked the Ger Rebbe's grandson. He used to learn Chumash with his grandfather, and he would say, "How did your grandfather learn with you? What did you? How did he teach the pasuk Noach is tzaddik? Tell me about the rest. And how did he translate that pasuk?" He said, "Noach ish. First, Noach was a mensch, and then he was a tzaddik." But you can talk about the higher levels afterwards. But the first thing you are is an ish. Here the Sfas Emes says, he was an ish tzaddik. He was a tzaddik of a mensch. That's what he was. That's where it begins. After you determine, after you establish yourself as a human being, then you can reach the highest levels. What was the Dor HaMabul lacking? The Dor HaMabul was lacking menschlichkeit. You know what happens when you lack menschlichkeit? You don't deserve to be a mensch. What's a mensch? A man, a person, alive. A person who doesn't act like a human being doesn't deserve to be a human being. So God says, gentlemen, you're not acting like human beings. I'll see you later. And then I think the same thing with stone. What did stone do that was so bad? So the Navi says in Yechezkel, we all learn the story of stone. That's right, they were, Avram argued, God was going to destroy them. They were really rotten people. And the Navi says, because they didn't give tzedakah, they didn't do chesed. Wait, who heard the stories, right? They would, they didn't allow you to have guests in your house, and somebody did, and they poured honey, so all the bees bitter, and somebody had a guest, and then they spread his legs, and they cut his legs, and I assume that you went to the same elementary school type that I did, and they told you these midrashim. So, why do you die for that? For not doing chesed, you die? That's just they weren't human beings. They weren't acting with basic human decency. So the Torah is telling you that if you don't act with human decency, then you don't deserve to be alive. There's a Yerushalmi. We have the Talmud Bavli, you have the Talmud Yerushalmi. So the good thing about the Talmud Yerushalmi is that even then when you're done with the Talmud Bavli, there's still what to learn. You can do the Talmud Yerushalmi. So it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi is actually the Gerers. They're the ones who spread that you have to learn Yerushalmi. They have Daf Yomi Yerushalmi. You can do it. It's not so hard. Today art school is coming out with the Yerushalmi. You can do it. They're green. I dig the color. It says there that there's a certain creation who's completely a man. In all areas he's a man, but he has the face of a behemoth. He stands up and he reads the Torah, and you can say to him, "Come, I'm going to shecht you." That's the Yerushalmi. Meaning you can have a person, shecht means to slaughter. I'm trying to translate all the words, in case anybody doesn't know all the words that I have. All the translations. Sometimes people say, "What do you mean?" So I'm trying to translate. But I assume you know what shecht means. Shecht means to shecht. You have a creature, the Gemara says, who's the face of it, the rest of the body's a man. But the face of an animal, he gets up, he gets an aliyah, Baruch Hu Es Hashem, and then he goes back to the aliyah, say, come, I'm going to shech you now. That's it, you're allowed to, he's not a person. He's an animal. Why? Because you see from this Yerushalmi, you could be a person who's reading from the Torah, and yet you're a behemoth. You're not even, not you. But the, this, you have a creature. It's also telling us there's a concept of a creature who reads from the Torah and also is still an animal that you can check. He's not even a human being. He could be both. So you have, he looks like a man, he walks like a man, talks like a man, but he also has the status of a behemoth. So that's actually a creature that they had in the time of the Gemara. And the Yerushalmi is alluding to the fact that we can also be like that. We can be somebody who reads from the Torah, but really is like an animal, because we lose our sense of human decency. What defines a man? What defines a man as a man? When I say man, I mean in the generic sense. A human being. And the answer is, a pasuk in Koheles, Ecclesiastes. He says, Ani barasi es adam yasha, v'hema chishbu chishbonos harabim. I created man straight, and he made many chishbonos. In other words, man is created as somebody who is straight, yashar. What's yashar? Honest. A person has to be straight, a person has to be honest, a person has to be a human being. When a person is a sone, it says, sina mekalkelas es hashura. When somebody is straight and then he hates somebody, he'll do something which is completely contravenes human logic. When you hate somebody so much. I once heard there were two people who were involved in a fight. I think it was two brothers. There's no fight like a family fight. Involved in a fight over money. And ended up in the courts. So I heard it from a rabbi. A rabbi said that he asked one of the brothers how much they're fighting over. And you know... And you know what the guy said? He said, we're fighting over $100,000. And the rabbi said, and how much is it going to cost you to go to court with the lawyers and everything? And the guy said, $200,000. He said, it's worth it for you to get $100,000 out of your brother, even though it's going to mean that you lose $200,000? And he said, yeah. You know why? Because he hates him. That's what happens when a person is yashar. Yashar means you wouldn't do that. That's stupid. But you hate somebody so much, hasinam mekalkelas is ashura. Any straight way you'd want to be, when you have enough hatred, you'll go off that path. It makes you crazy. And that's what happened in the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul, it says, Hayim Riva Beinehem. They lost their sense of human decency, of being yashar. There's a certain way people are supposed to act, and I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time amongst religious Jews, that they act in ways, you just can't believe a person would do that. You can't believe the way a person would steal from somebody else. I mean, it's happened to me personally. You know, a person rips you off, and a person knows he's ripping you off. A person cheats. A person lies. A person lies. You're not a person anymore. And it's so basic to being human that even a Nazi, Yamach Shemam V'Zichron, understand that if somebody asks you for directions, imagine somebody asks you, hey, excuse me, I remember my favorite story. This guy once asked me, a Japanese tourist, Oriental, I don't know exactly where he's from, but a tourist came up to me, and he didn't speak any English or Hebrew, obviously. So, whatever he was saying. So I didn't understand what he was saying. So, all of a sudden he goes, I was like, well, what does he want? So all of a sudden he said, Abba, Abba, Abba. He's asking him how to get to the Kotel, because it's the Wailing Wall. So he was showing, you know, he's holding a sitter, and then he was wailing. Yeah? So imagine I was saying to him, you know, I'm standing in the Rova, you know where I live, on Rehov Or HaChaim up there, right on the way to Sammy's Shady Makolet up there, right? So he said, oh, how do you get to the Kotel? I say, okay. What you do is like this. You go all the way up the hill. Yeah, then when you hit the street, you make a right. Okay, you go out of Jaffa Gate. You walk for 45 minutes to the central bus station. Okay, you take a bus, okay, to Lebanon. Okay, and that's there. Okay, there they'll tell you how to get to the Kotel. Right? Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Say I would do that to somebody. There is no human being who would get, how can you do that? You lied, that's not where the Kotel is, right down the hill. Straight to the left. Yes, how can you say that to him? What's the answer? The answer is, That's a lack of human decency. Because everybody has the most fundamental trait of a person is the trait of emes. Rabbi Yonah says in his Shari Tshuva, about 800 years ago, to be honest, to be truthful, that is the basic fundamental, that's the foundation of the human soul. And we all understand, everybody understands that to lie is wrong. There's no society, there's no philosophy, people lie all the time. People cheat all the time, people steal all the time, but everybody understands that it's wrong. We even have, not in any yeshivas, chas v'shalom, but we've heard that in schools that aren't yeshivas, people cheat on tests. Right? Ever heard? Not you guys never heard, because you guys went to yeshivas. But I'm saying, in non-yeshivas, it's happened that people cheat on, everybody knows it's wrong, and people do it all the time. They do it all the time. You go online, you download from the internet, you download, I have to write a paper on this, and then they have websites you can go to. I heard that you can get papers. I didn't, when I was in school, I didn't have such problems. Like, we didn't have internet, so I just didn't write the paper. Yes? So but that just means I was a bad student. It doesn't mean I wasn't a human being. To cheat means that you're not a human being. To steal means that they stopped being human beings. So we asked before, why did they die? Why did they die? Because they stole. They're worse averis than that. Yeah, there were worse averis than that, but stealing, taking what belongs to somebody else, means that you're not a human being anymore. You're not yashar. You lost your yashrus. You're not straight. To go and fight with somebody else, yes, that there's no av and achva, so that's a lack of human decency. And as simple as it may sound, yet all of the time I hear it. I hear the way neighbors act to each other. Terrible stories. In the dorm. Every year I hear, I ask God, why are you so tired? I didn't sleep last night. People were making noise till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. It hasn't happened once yet that somebody came up to me and I say, why are you tired? I said, oh, I was making noise and keeping everybody else up in the dorm until 2, 3 in the morning. I always get the guys who were the ones trying to fall asleep. No, never the ones making noise. But people, to wake up another person, that's a lack of human decency. And people do it all the time. In this dormitory, in other dormitories. Why? Why? At that moment, because a person isn't thinking to himself, if I wake this person up, then I cease to be a human being. I don't want to cease to be a human being. So I'm going to have this self-respect. Now, I remember when I first came to yeshiva, I had a rabbi, Zechon Tzadik Avrach, unfortunately died young of brain cancer. But every other week he would get up and he would talk about how people steal Coke in the dorm. You know, you have a fridge in the dorm, and people steal. And you know what I learned? This is now my 24th year in yeshiva. This is now my 24th year that people are still stealing Coke in the dorm. People go into the fridge and they take what belongs to somebody else. I can't believe it. But it happens in this yeshiva, and I mean, it has happened in the past. This year obviously hasn't happened yet because I'm looking around, all I see are honest faces. Yes, but it has happened in the past that a person, I'm not saying everybody is a bunch of thieves, that's for sure, but that a person can go and take what belongs to somebody else, even if you see somebody's pen on the table and you use it. So a shol shalomi das is a goslin. When you use what belongs to somebody else without asking permission, so that makes you a thief. And we learn from here, we learn from the story of the Dora Flugga, excuse me, the Dora Mabel, that if you're stealing, then you cease to be a human being. It says in the Gemara, that if you're Ochel Bashuk, you're Dome Lekelek. If you eat while walking down the street, you're like an animal. Animals eat while walking down the street. But you always see, guy, first of all, you're Apostle Edus. But you see a person walking down the street and he's stuffing himself with a falafel and the hummus is falling all over his hands and his face and this. And it's, but ha'ochel bashuk dome lekelev. It's like being a dog. Dogs eat in the marketplace. But yet people do it because they don't think, oh, now I'm going to be a dog. What are they thinking? I'm hungry. I'm hungry and I want to eat. What sin is there? What are the 613 averas? Is it? It's not one of the 613. But it's a sin that makes you not a human being. And if you're not, who wants to not be a human being? Is actually a very interesting, and that explains all the different sins that they did, a lack of being a human being. And there's a Sfas Emes who said something very interesting. He said that because Noah built the Teva, they started to do tshuva. They had a Hurei tshuva. And therefore, afterwards, their descendants lived in Nineveh. So we asked before, how come they didn't do tshuva? I go, I'm a krobe tshuva. They're likely to do tshuva when you give them Musar. The only reason they're likely to do tshuva, according to the Sfas Emes, according to the Mekubalim, is because later on, the people who did do tshuva, the people in Nineveh, they were the Gilgulim, they were the reincarnations. Oh, thank you, the people from the Dora Mabel. Because the people in the Dora Mabel, they thought to do tshuva, and then the people in Nineveh actually did tshuva. So, basically what I want to get to, And with this we have to end, because every week that I speak, the clock goes much, much faster than I want it to go. But that's part of life. It's to try our best, and that's really what Yeshiva is trying to produce. Ultimately, we want you to be Talmidei Chachamim, and we want you to be Tzaddikim, and we want every guy in this room to know the whole Shas, and we want every guy in this room to have Ruach HaKodesh. But this is the first step that everybody agrees on. Even guys who say, I don't want to be so religious. But to be a mensch, to be honest, and to be honest is in all areas. It means to be honest with your friends. It means to be honest with your Rabbeim. And most of all, like the Kutzke Rebbe said, it means to be honest with yourselves. He said, well, signal means don't steal. Don't steal from yourself. Don't fool yourself. To be honest with yourself. And when you daven every day, Slach lenu avinu ki chatanu, I'm sorry I sinned. Are you sorry you sinned? Are you sorry you sinned? Somebody says to me, I'm not Shomer Negiyah. So in other words, you're a liar. No, I'm not a liar. I would never lie. I'm just not Shomer Negiyah. No, but you're a liar. Why am I a liar? Because every day you say, I'm sorry, God, for sinning. Please forgive me. But you don't really think you're sorry. You know that you're sinning and you're going to continue to do it. So you're not, this is not being honest. So part of being honest is if you're going to say something to God, then believe it. And then if you don't believe it, I don't want to say don't say it. But at least say it and say, God, I'm saying it, but I really don't believe it. I'm really not sorry. That's honest. Isn't that being honest? Is it? A person has other things. I don't do that. I don't believe in that. It's against halacha. I'm sorry. That's just not for me. Then it's not being honest. Or a person goes. A person fasted on Yom Kippur, and he said, oh, al chet shechatanu lefenecha for this, and al chet shechatanu lefenecha for that. I have some news for you. About half of the al chets, about half of them, are for watching movies. About half of them. Every other one is about histaklus and agil arayos and znus and everything relates to the bris kodesh. All the half of the al chets. And yet people don't hesitate. They don't hesitate to put it in. So that's a lack of yashrus. If the person doesn't believe, they don't go to shul. The person or go to shul and then, you know, watch everybody dive in and read a book. I have a cousin like that. He once went to shul to make his father feel good on Yom Kippur, and he brought a novel along. He doesn't believe, but if a person believes in it, then live it. And let's say a person isn't sure. A person's not sure. So what do you do if you're not sure? What do you do if you have a medication to take and you're not sure if this is the medication that's going to save your life or kill you? What do? You find out, right? If you have medication, right in front of you, you're thinking of pills, and you know it's going to either save your life or kill you, what are you going to do? Find out. Isn't that a good idea? Thank you, Tzvi Moshe. If you want to know if God exists, which people aren't so sure of sometimes, or if the Torah is true, or Judaism, Am Yisrael, all these concepts you're going to hear about this year. If you're not sure, then find out. Because your life hangs on. That's being honest. Be honest. I want to know. But most people I know, with their questions and their doubts, they never find out. So, I'm not sure. I have this question, so I don't keep Shabbos. You ever learn Mor Nevuchim? You ever heard of Mor Nevuchim? Not you guys. You say to the guy, you ever heard of Mor Nevuchim? Never learned it. You ever learn Masad Yagon, Amunah Sadeus? The Kuzari. A whole book on believing in God. You ever read the book? Never heard of it. You ever read the Derech Hashem? You ever read, what was the book you learned last year with Ari Epstein? Das Tvunos. You ever learn the Zohar? You ever read Maral? Rav Kook? So here you have a long reading list, guys. To be honest, say, I want to know if there's a God. If there's a God, I'm going for it. That's honest. But a person says, I don't know. So since I don't know, this Shabbos I'm going to miss Minyan, I'm going to sleep late, I hang out with girls in the square. How is there time to hang out with girls in the square? How's there time? You have to find out if there's a God, what it means. There's no time for that. And I have to tell you, usually guys complain about me, and then they dock me until Hanukkah, they don't let me speak. So I had to get it all out tonight. I want to wish everybody mamish the greatest Shabbos of your life. I wish you all to be able to serve Hashem and Simcha. 2, 3, 4!